The Taxation Committee will come to order. Will the secretary please read the roll?
Vice Chair Thain.
Here.
Vice Chair Welch.
Here.
Representative Abbott.
Excuse.
Representative Barker.
Here.
Representative Brewster.
Here.
Representative Buckley.
Here.
Representative Konauer.
Present.
Representative Essman.
Here.
Representative Fern.
Here.
Representative Kazmaier.
Here.
Representative Kearns.
Here.
Representative R. Knudsen.
Excused.
Representative Malone.
Here.
Representative Marler.
Excused.
Representative Miner.
Here.
Representative Nikolokakos.
Excused.
Representative Romano.
Here.
Representative T. Smith.
Here.
Representative Vinton.
Excused.
Chair Fielder.
Here. I ask you to please silence your cell phones if you have not done so already. If you need to take a call, please step out into the hall and do so. I have people here that are to give testimony. When you come to give testimony, please sign in at the door. And when you step to the microphone, please give your name, your affiliation, if any, and please spell your last name so we can keep that for the record. I want to remind everybody that this is a recorded committee meeting, so everything that's said in here will be available to the public for review. We have one bill scheduled for hearing today, and that is House Bill 121. House Bill 188. It's one bill. We have no executive action scheduled for today. Vice Chair Welch, will you please read the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 188, a bill for an act entitled an act modifying funding to the Coal Board, amending section 15-35-108 MCA and providing an immediate effective date, Mr. Chair.
Representative Perry, will you introduce your bill?
Good morning. Top of the morning to you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Gary Perry, spelled P-A-R-R-Y, and I represent House District 39 in the heart of coal country. House Bill 188, which you have before you, is an act revising the end date for the allocation of revenues into the coal natural resources account established in 90-6-1012. As you may discern from reading this bill, coal severance dollars richly bless and touch most every area of our great state, from libraries to agriculture to the general fund and commerce and beyond. The portion of this bill noted as 15-35-108, number 9, on line 9 of page 2, deals specifically with renewing that portion that is credited to the coal natural gas natural resources account established in 90-6-1012 for the purpose of funding the Coal Board. Coal Board funds deposited in this account are then made available on a quarterly basis to help fund projects within communities affected either positively or negatively by coal mining in our state. This language will allow the Coal Board to be extended in its current format for 4 years until 2027. Many of these affected communities are rural and can be affected in numerous ways. A few examples are one of the recent grants helped extend the water lines in Colstrip because we had a rupture of the line that made the whole north end of Colstrip not have potable water available for about 4 days while they were trying to fix it. It also, one of the recent ones also went to Forsyth to help their water treatment plan. And I want to let you know that oftentimes these communities are able to find matching funds or provide matching funds. So most of the time or a lot of the time, it's not asking for full funding of all these projects. It also has provided purchase of an antiquated fire truck for Colstrip. It's a ladder truck. And those of you that know Colstrip are like, why does Colstrip need a ladder truck? Well, if we go out, it also helps at the mine or at the plant. So if you've got to get up near one of those towers at the plant or one of those buildings, you got to have a ladder truck. We were able to also purchase some ambulances for the County of Rosebud. I don't know if you heard, but one of their ambulances was stolen. I don't know who wants to steal an ambulance for a joyride, but they did, and they destroyed it, and it was antiquated enough that insurance wasn't going to cover the full amount, so we were able to purchase ambulances. Another very significant one last summer was the fire department in Miles City came in and asked for dollars to help build a facility to house the equipment that they need for fire. Well, the particular section of fire they're talking about, this fella takes care of monitoring coal bed fires, and that affects like a 5-county area. And because they're able to stay on top, we have a good chance of not having huge wildfires in southeastern Montana like we had 2 years ago. It also has provided nursing stations in Hardin. So as you can see, the area that's affected is affected by a lot of communities that are dealing with coal. Most of all, if not all of these communities, could not afford these projects without this help. This support of to support the coal operations and the employees and families and communities affected by those operations wouldn't be possible without the coal board grants. Coal mining continues to provide tax severance dollars, and I strongly urge this committee to provide a due pass on the extension of this coal board. I stand prepared for questions and will defer until I provide conclusion of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. Before I move on to proponents, I want to just remind people that if you have something that you wish to hand out, please give that to the secretary so it can be distributed. And please try not to repeat testimony. If somebody's already given testimony and you are 100% in agreement with what they've said, you can just acknowledge that you agree with what so-and-so said. So as we move on to proponents, I'm going to ask Senator Usher to go first. Senator Usher has another commitment that he's going to have to leave from. So when he's finished with his testimony, if we can ask him questions at this time to allow him to be excused for the remainder of this meeting, I'd appreciate that. Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, members of the committee. I'm Senator Barry Usher, USHER. I represent Senate District 20, which is coal country also. The two largest coal mines are in my district, Roundup and Colstrip. And we call it coal country. That would also include Savage and Bighorn County have some coal mines. I support this bill. I ran it my first two sessions as a House member. Two sessions ago, I extended it to be 4 years, so I didn't understand why we had to come back every session. So we extended it for 4 years. Hopefully, we'll continue that process. But this, I will agree 100% with what Representative Perry said, but I want to emphasize how critical this is, money going back to coal country and the municipalities and counties that are affected by our coal. These communities have more traffic, they have more commercial traffic, they have more people going to their schools, more people using their roads, and this funding goes for critical infrastructure and everything from extra snowplow truck to fire truck, ambulance, graders, water treatment plants, whatever that community needs to help them make sure they can sustain the extra burdens of being part of coal country. So I encourage a due pass on this. I implore you to think about it strongly if you're opposed to it, and please do not hesitate to ask any of us questions and how critical this is. I know we do have some people from coal country that are going to testify to tell you how important it is to their local communities, because I can tell you Coal Country has counties that are some of the poorest in the state, so it is critical money. So keep that in mind. So I appreciate it, and if anybody has any questions before I leave, I appreciate the chairman's indulgence.
Are there any questions from the committee for Senator Usher before we excuse him from this hearing? Any questions? Seeing none, thank you, Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As a matter of procedure in committee meetings, when someone testifies for or against a bill in committee hearing, as we go through proponents and opponents, they're required to stay in the vicinity so that when we come to committee questions, they would be available for questioning from committee members. So it's if people come and they testify as a proponent or an opponent and then they leave the area, it could be a situation where the sergeant at arms has to try to track them down and bring them back if a committee person has a question for them. So that's why we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to question Senator Usher before we excused him as a proponent. So are there other proponents for House Bill 188?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I do have two handouts also. We can do that now, or
please hand them out.
Okay. I'm just starting here. One on this side. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Jim Atchison, and that's spelled A-T-C-H-I-S-O-N. I'm the executive director of Southeastern Montana Development Corporation, based in Colstrip, but it's important to note that we are a regional economic development group that covers the four counties of Custer, Rosebud, Powder River, and Treasure. So we're right in the middle of coal country. Our organization's been around since 1997. I've been there a little over 21 years and been to a lot of coal board meetings, I'll tell you. And I do have a letter there that's being circulated, and I'd like to read part of that there. We stand in strong support of House Bill 188 and keeping the coal board funding stable. So dear House Taxation Committee members, in my opinion, there's four key points I'd like to make in that letter. The coal board, in my opinion, is one of the most effective and productive state programs. They qualify applicants through five rigid criteria and get funds into impacted areas quickly, and that's very important. They can get money into those impacted areas quickly. Number two, the Montana Coal Board is one of those key tools in the toolbox that we use to create and save or retain economic activity for the public sector, and that's the schools, the cities, counties, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a vital resource there. Number three, House Bill 188 would bring much needed stability and certainly improve basic services and the quality of life in these rural and remote parts of our state. And number four, last year, I believe around $65 million was collected by the coal severance tax. House Bill 188 is simply allowing a stable flow of those funds to be used to assist with growing coal impacts. Thus, as the storm clouds continue to grow on our horizon, this is not the time to reduce much-needed funds in coal country. Please consider House Bill 188 as an investment in the future of our Treasure State, and please vote yes on HB 188. Thank you for your time and consideration on this most important issue. Now, that was my letter, and then also circulating is a letter from my colleague, Leslie Messer, from Richland Economic Development, and she supports HB 188 as well, and she notes in her letter about an assisted living facility in Savage, Montana, a very small town in eastern Montana, that use coal board funds to keep that facility open and keeping those residents in Richland County. So strong supporter of HB 188. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atchison. Are there other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Gilbert. I'm here today on behalf of the city of Colstrip. I also represent Rosebud County, Musselshell County. Mr. Chair.
Please spell your last name, please.
G-I-L-B-E-R-T.
Thank you.
Also represent Phillips County, Rosebud County, and Musselshell County. I was born and raised in Roundup. I know about coal. What we're doing here today is pure and simple. We're going to extend the sunset from 2 years, which is the normal, to 4 years, which when you're looking at long-range stuff, especially in small communities, it's very important. They can't react as fast. They don't have hired staff because they don't have the money. But everyone in the state of Montana is eligible for this money. It's not just coal mine towns, although they really need it, and we want to protect them. But we have to understand also that it benefits the state, the whole state. And, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my portion. And I do have another bill in another committee, if I may be excused.
Does the committee members have any questions for Mr. Gilbert before we excuse him? Any questions for Mr. Gilbert? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Gilbert, for your testimony. You may be excused.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Other proponents? I also want to stress that if you have a handout that you're handing out for the committee, you don't need to, please don't read your handout. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kelly Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H. I'm the executive director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. We represent all 127 incorporated municipalities in Montana, all of whom unanimously stand in support of our coal-impacted communities. This is a great program, and I don't just say that because I used to run it when I was at the Department of Commerce, but it really ties that coal severance tax to the actual impacts of coal. And I want to also mention that I am standing here in support also for the Montana Infrastructure Coalition, Montana Association of Oil and Gas and Coal Counties, Montana Association of Counties, and Westmoreland Coal. We ask for a due pass. Thanks.
Thank you. Other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Renee Lemon, L-E-M-O-N. I'm the division administrator with the Community MT Division within Montana Department of Commerce. So we administer the coal board. The coal board is a seven-member citizen board appointed by the governor. They're administratively attached to commerce. So the board makes decisions on grant funding to local government units and tribes for public services or facilities needed as a result of coal development. So our role is to review and analyze grant applications against the statutory criteria, which Mr. Acheson already provided, provide funding recommendations to the board, support quarterly meetings, assist grant applicants, and administer the grants. We stand in support of this bill. We also have Amy Barnes, who is legal counsel, and she's supported this board for a long time, and we're here if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lemon. Other proponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ann Hedges, H-E-D-G-E-S, with Montana Environmental Information Center. And we support this program very much. We believe that it's a good idea to have a nexus between taxation and those things that are receiving those tax funds. And this, I don't think you get any better nexus than this program. This program is to pay for not just an increase in the impacts due to an increase in coal production. It's also an increase, it's offsetting the impacts from a decrease in coal production. And in 2014, coal production in Montana was about 44 million tons. At the beginning of the pandemic in 2019, it was down to 28 million tons. 34 million tons. Last year was 28 million tons. That's a big decrease. And the projections are that that decrease is going to continue. The Hardin plant received a new life, new lease on life temporarily because of cryptocurrency operations there, but those operations moved last summer. So as coal production declines, this percentage needs to stay high in order to make sure that these coal communities have the funding they need to deal with that decrease in production that is occurring all over the country, not just in Montana. So I would recommend, the only thing I don't like about this bill is the sunset. I think it's unnecessary for us to keep coming back to the legislature asking for this sunset to be prolonged. I think we should just commit to these communities and say, we are going to, as long as there is a coal severance tax, we are going to make sure that they get a reasonable percentage of that income to help offset the impacts of increased and decreased production. Thank you.
Ms. Hedges, could you please restate the department you work for?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm with the Montana Environmental Information Center. I'm a nonprofit organization.
Thank you. Other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is George Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. I'm the executive director to the Montana Coal Council, and we stand in support of this bill, recognizing its statutory appropriations and recognizing that the importance of the value of the severance tax to Montana in general. A third of the nation's coal is in Montana, and we are grateful that communities can benefit from it. And I also support the testimony that's been given. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Are there any other proponents in the room? Other proponents for House Bill 188? Seeing none, we'll move on. Do we have any proponents online? Do we have any proponents online?
Mr. Chair, I believe Amy Barnes is online.
Okay. Ms. Barnes, would you like to give your testimony?
Good morning, Chair Fielder and members of the committee. My name for the record is Amy Barnes, B as in boy, A-R-N-E-S. I am an attorney for the Montana Department of Commerce, and I am here as an informational witness along with Renee Lemon, who testified already. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponents online? Seeing none, do we have opponents to House Bill 188? Are there any opponents in the room for House Bill 188? Do we have opponents online for House Bill 188? No opponents online? Okay, do we have informational witnesses for House Bill 188?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jared Isom. I'm an economist with the Department of Revenue, and I put together the revenue estimates for the fiscal note, if there are any questions on that.
Could you just please spell your last name?
Yes, sorry, I-S-O-M.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Representative Kearns? Okay. Well, yes. Yes, thank you, Mr. Isom. Are there any other informational witnesses in the room? Are there any informational witnesses online other than Amy Ree Barnes, who sounded like she was an informational witness when she gave her name? Okay, since we have no more testimony on that, do we have questions from the committee for the people that have testified? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, just a comment on the fiscal note, which I don't believe we have, and a request to get that when we're able to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that note, Ms. Buckley. Representative Buckley. Representative Kearns, did you have a question?
Mr. Chair, it was the same question.
Thank you. Representative Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Ms. Lynch, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lynch, I believe in your testimony you made a comment about tying the coal industry to the allocation of the trust. And I see that's in the bill that there's some that is allocated to libraries and some to artwork in the Capitol. Can you explain how that's connected to the coal industry?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vinton, absolutely not. Just this particular program. You mean the allocations that come from the coal severance tax to those things, or from the allocations that come from the coal severance tax to coal board for those projects?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Lynch, thank you. I think I might be confused. I just read that in the bill that there is a certain percentage that is allocated to libraries and a percentage that's allocated to artwork, and maybe I misunderstood your comment about tying in the coal industry to the allocation of the funds.
No, thanks for the clarification, Mr. Chair, Representative Vinton. So what you're looking at when you're looking at the proposal is the allocations that come. So there's this nice big flow chart. Coal tax severance comes in, and a whole bunch of them drop down into this first bucket. It doesn't go into the coal trust fund, and those individual ones go to a whole bunch of different programs. None of those are on the table before you today, just the piece of it that goes to the coal board and pays for those coal impacted specific impacts.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fern. Representative Fern.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps this is a question for Ms. Lynch.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fern.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Lynch, since you were talking about that wonderful flow chart, when we look at the distributions you mentioned, I guess you see on the left-hand side of the chart, comment was brought up that perhaps, or testimony was brought up, perhaps we should extend the length of the sunset or not have a sunset. I'm wondering when we think about the other distribution categories, if they have similar sunsets or no sunsets, or they're longer sunsets, if you're aware of that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fern, that's probably a better question for Megan.
I'm going to redirect it to Megan.
Okay, redirect.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fern, I'm not sure if you're talking specific to the coal severance tax or in general, but we generally, there is a provision of law that states tax incentive that is related to tax incentives that has termination dates, but there's nothing particular in law about the termination dates for the coal severance tax. It would just be up to the legislature. And I believe this is the only one that has a provision that expires. The others are permanent, I believe.
Could I do one follow-up to a different witness? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Possibly Ms. Lemon from Commerce. Thank you, Ms. Lemon, Mr. Chair, and redirect the attorney if you feel need to do. But my question is do we know why this fund was set up just on a two-year window?
Mr. Chair, Representative Fern, I would redirect that either to Amy Barnes or possibly Kelly Lynch, since she was previously in my role and I've only been here for a year, so I cannot answer that question.
Ms. Lynch, you may direct that to whoever you think is most capable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fern, when I was at the Department of Commerce from 2007 to 2016, it was OTO until the last couple of years of that. And then, as Senator Usher stated, we ended up getting it to happen for a little bit more time. But every time, if it went away for coal board, you would have to figure out what other program it would go to, because it doesn't just automatic. I guess it would just go into the automatic flow into the trust fund.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator, Representative Konauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a question for the sponsor. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Perry, I just wanted to clarify and just make sure that with the bill, there's no changes between the temporary section and the new section that's being added. Are the allocations identical in both sections?
Mr. Chair, Representative Konar, I purposely didn't increase the amount. Dearly wanted to, and I dearly wanted it to go in perpetuity as well. But no, I didn't change that, and I felt the way to hopefully guarantee it would pass is to continue a sunset and extend it for 4 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is for Ms. Lemon, although she might want to redirect it, and my question is in the flavor of some of the questions that have been asked, and I'm just wondering if somebody could state clearly what is the argument for removing the sunset altogether, because it seems like this is such a popular program, and I would just like to hear whether it's theoretical or not, what would be the problem with removing the sunset?
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Marlowe, from the agency's perspective, we would have no concerns about removing the sunset.
Thank you. Vice Chair Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Isom, please. Mr. Chair, Mr. Isom, in absence of the fiscal note, could you please let us know how much money the 5.8% generates annually, and if it's available, what the current account balance might be? Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Thane, I do not have the current balance. I'll tell you that right now. I have a draft fiscal note just from the Department of Revenue. I don't believe the Budget Office has finalized it and distributed that yet, and that's why you don't have it. But from my numbers, half of the 5.8%, so the impact to the general fund would be about $2 million a year. So right now, about $2 million a year would be going to the general fund instead of the coal board, and this law switches that back essentially. So just double that and you'll get about that annual amount average.
Thank you, Mr. Isom. Mr. Chair.
Are there other questions from the committee? Other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Perry, would you like to close on your bill?
I would, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I will reiterate, I would love this to be perpetual, but I'm a new guy, and I didn't want to take a chance of not getting it passed. So this extension language provides the assistance much needed by several rural communities who work to provide power and energy, not only to Montana, but the entire Northwest. I strongly urge a due pass to let these folks know we recognize and appreciate their service to us and our region. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Perry. This closes the hearing on House Bill 188. With no further business in front of this committee and no executive action scheduled in the immediate future, I do not see a reason for a meeting on Thursday morning. Are there any comments on that or opposition to that? So our next meeting would be at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. Okay. And at that meeting we'll be getting a revenue update, what the state of the revenue is within the state, and that'll help influence some of the bills as we go forward. So with that, we'll meet again on Friday morning at 9 o'clock, and this meeting is adjourned.
I'm going to now catch Kelly Lynch real quick.